Here we are in the Zabin Garden in Portland, and what we're doing here, we are finishing the cup structures that were built 2 weeks ago, and we're gonna put some color and we're gonna make it nice, beautiful. They have red oxide, which is non-toxic, it's all natural, and it's a great product that I'm new to it. Basically what we're doing here is sifting the clay, two process, make it really fine, because we're gonna plaster the ready-made benches that we have here in the back that will serve as a shelter for those kids that will be gardening here. So, and then we're gonna mix them with sand, add the oxide, and then just plaster with our hands. We might use some tools, but we want the artisan finish on it. And that's what we're doing here, basically. We're gonna mix a little bit of straw just to give that consistency. And we have a bunch of happy people taking a break right now.
And this is a day event.
Oh, this is a day event, yes. This is part of the village building conversions. This is my first time, and I'm delighted to be here. This is my third day, and I already spent the previous 2 days in other sites where we have beautiful people jumping in, helping out with the projects of the city and the individual projects that are making a difference in the residents here in Portland. So I'm just delighted to participate and learn and build community with this wonderful team that are, it's just amazing. This morning I was just thinking about the whole BBC, and I already did my permaculture training, and this is tantamount to a permaculture training, because all the stuff that's going on, you learn so much. It's like having a permaculture training, you know. And even though I haven't seen everything, but the lectures combined with the workshops, combined with the talks and the whole community collectiveness and working in the kitchen with the meeting people, all that, I learned so much.
Tell me more about the people that you've met, and maybe where, if you've noticed, like where they're from. Are they from all over, or how have they connected with you?
Well, the first night someone asked the question, how many people was present from Portland? It was after the lecture. Only 1/4 of the audience raised their hands. So most of us are outside of Portland, and it seems to be that it's very famous, this convergence, out there in other states. We have people from California. I met someone from New York yesterday, you know? So it's really amazing to see that community event that doesn't get a mass media coverage get people from New York, you know, the East Coast. So it's amazing. Now, I connected with so many people. My native language is Spanish, so I connected with a guy from Spain who just came 2 weeks ago to the States. He was in Baltimore with his partner, and they are wonderful cooks. They have the most delicious food. You tried that food yesterday or the day before. It was just gourmet food, you know, and it was just beautiful to work with these people who we were joking, having fun, but yet getting the food on the table, so to speak. And also connect with some of the, last night we connect with some of the people who are be giving lectures. Okay, his name is Paul Cienfuegos. And we had a beautiful solar, like, I want to call it like fire circle with no fire, but the conversation was just wonderful, and we were just talking all kinds of subjects. It was quiet, no more music, and we're just sitting outside, and our conversation was highlighted because the moon just came from within the clouds, and it was, and then it just went away when we had that climax of our talk on how we're going to transform. How are we going to take all this to the masses? How are we going to do that?
So you're feeling a collective energy of sorts of people eager to talk and express themselves on the same level that you must be feeling?
I'm feeling a total collectiveness, collective consciousness tipping over to the mass people, not only in the United States, because, you know, this is happening in Brazil, in Argentina, in Africa. I mean, you guys are aware of the situation in Africa, but yet, if you just Google permaculture Africa, you'll see these amazing videos where kids, they're all, you know, they don't have too much, but they do their own gardens. They grow in their own food, the permaculture way. We could learn because they're doing the most ridiculous materials you could find to build these permaculture settings. And this is a matter of life and death, because this is the food they're gonna eat, you know, kids. So we can learn so much from other people.
Well, I had the pleasure of visiting Cuba a few years back, and in what we saw there, my partner and I, was a sort of a permaculture sense of community, but that was not being projected as something that needed to be learned. It was something that was just inherent in everybody's consciousness. Mm-hmm. Everything was geared towards community help.
Nice.
Using simple products, even what Americans would consider as throwaway garbage, mm-hmm. and re-implementing it into the system to help the community, to for irrigation, just any kind of real working knowledge. I do feel a sense of that coming to the United States, but it's a very slow system, very slow process. And if anything, I think that the hard times that we're experiencing right now is that could be part of the upshot learning to use products that are more natural and more simple to use.
I think you are totally on the beam on that one. Just to see the resourcefulness of these people and how permaculture invites that kind of mindset to the design aspect of any setting. Could be a little garden, could be your kitchen, could be your workshop. We were talking about permaculture being in your desktop, in your computer. So that's how far we are going in this BBC.
Apply it to everything.
Yes, exactly. Could be applied. There's the only limits are the imagination of the designer. So that's amazing, because permaculture is not really about growing tomatoes and cucumbers. It's about the connections we make with, not only with elements within your garden or your particular site, but with the people, with the ideas, with their materials, with all the wisdom that we have inherited thus far. And permaculture embraces all that. And their well thought out philosophy of taking care of the earth, taking care of the people, and sharing the surplus, which, you know, people have wrote books on each of these statements. But to really underline taking care of the earth, this is where we are at. She gave us everything that we have, and we better take care of her, because that's all what we have. We don't have any other place to go. You know, that's very simple. And considering that many places in the States are becoming deserts as we speak. So, yes, we better. Now, taking care of the people is, you know, being community, going against that indoctrination we have been brought up with, about having your own car, your own thing, your own bicycle, your own.
Yeah, what society is projecting your life should be, as
yes.
opposed to what you individually choose your life to be.
Exactly. So that taking care of the people is so important, because up to now, the primary purpose of our society is taking care of the profits, bottom line. That's all that matters. And even by law, you know, they have all the crazy corporate law, corporations must make a profit, you know, regardless of the environment and the people.
Capitalism.
Yes, basically. And, you know, then sharing the surplus, you know, how beautiful it is to give, you know, because the abundance is here. We only have this lack in our minds. This is speaking for myself. But the reality is that when we look around, look at all these trees, look at all this land, just look at all this grass that we're sitting here, and look at all the possibilities in this garden behind us. So the potential is here to create abundance. And even though we may not see it, but it's there, the potential is there. So the abundance is with us. It's our birthright. And there's nothing better than to share it with the others. You know?
Very well put. I like that.
So that's permaculture, you know, ethics that should probably be in the Constitution, you know. You know, let's make an amendment to the Bill of Rights, you know.
Yeah,
I'm serious, totally serious. You know, they really...
Right to a permaculture sustainable system.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's a good point, a right to that, as opposed to something we should be striving for. No, it should be already promised to us.
Built into our law and socio-economic system. So yeah, there's all these ideas, you know, that are popping up, and it's all the people. It's not just me. It's just everyone, because you are me, and you, and so on. You know, with the rest of us, whatever happens to you is happening to me, to one degree or another, and vice versa. And so with the planet, with our backyard, with our watersheds, with our mountains. I really feel so sad when I drive, and I know I could do better, okay? But then I see a truck that's carrying logs, you know? We don't need logs anymore. We have plenty of, you know? But it's just the driving economy that creates this demand, and then it's just a vicious cycle.
I agree.
But the reality is I've been starting to, my change, because I usually travel a lot, is I'm taking a lot of rides now, as opposed to driving. And if I drive, I take riders with me. So that it's more of, and I learned a lot about that. But that's off the subject, you know.
Yeah.
Basically.
No, but it is in a way part of the subject as well. A collectiveness in sharing rides, I think, is a beautiful thing. Although I haven't seen much of it used here, I've seen more of those types of things in countries like Mexico, or in Belize, or even Ecuador, where people, neighbors who drive to the cities or to the pueblos, from the pueblos, always, their cars are full.
Right.
And because they wouldn't even think twice about it. It would be like, my uncle is going tomorrow, and
people
would collect there and go, and then and there may even be different people that come back, you know. But nobody would even ask for money or anything like that, because they know that it would come back to them in another form.
Totally.
In another communal act of compassion or sharing, like you were saying.
Right.
And we don't really need to go too far to figure out how we can share all of our resources together and better everybody's environment around.
Exactly. I mean, last night we were talking this very idea. Cienfuegos mentioned that because of the so-called economy, which, you know, they create this, oh, we are in bad economy, and all of a sudden that's the buzzword. But really, what does it mean, bad economy, you know?
Yeah.
If we have our own garden, if we have our own community, there's no bad economy. It's just something, it's part of the indoctrination and the establishment hypnosis they want to inculcate. So just the last word is, Portland will be losing 5%, 10% of their transit system, you know, because of such, you know, things. So why don't we create, like, for instance, bicycle share, where we, you know, we leave our bicycles in a place, but someone else can take it. And, you know, even though you may not have a bicycle, or you go to work on a bicycle, but you don't use it in a period of 6 hours, you know. So we can have a system that, I think they have that in Europe, where bicycles are just sitting there. Whoever needs one will ride it, and then whoever needs another bicycle Might not be the same one, but it will be a bicycle always available.
They have actually tried that here a couple of times.
Oh, I didn't know.
And but it never really worked well because there was never a stable source of funding to help it.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, they started it, people abused it, and unfortunately it doesn't take many people to
spoil
a collective action. And there just was not the funds to maintain certain bikes or the bikes. They didn't expect that, but I'm thinking if they had planned for that a little bit more with some funding from the city or something, that might have been something that could have continued, but we're just waiting for a better leader to come along, I guess.
Right on, yeah. Right on.
And maybe a community could do it better than a group. So I think they use like advertising. They put advertising on the bike to try to help generate some kind of revenue.
But, didn't really work.
But it wasn't like a city sponsored thing at all. Mm. It was like a business association tried to do it. But I think if the city was able to present it and fund it to some extent, then something like that would probably work well.
Well, I think the time is ripe again because of this mass transportation reduction.
Right.
So thank you very much.
Yes,
we're
going to
go back to work. And
okay.
It was nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And then let's keep up the spirit.
The dialogue,
the dialogue and the spirit, everything. You know.
Well, thanks a lot for helping out.
Thank you.
Yeah.